everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy that airs every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight is definitely going to be one of the stranger shows. I have played some odd records on this show over the years, I'm aware. But for this show, I really had to dig deep into the strange corners of my record collection because tonight's theme is unintentional humor. We're going to be listening to records which, with perhaps very few exceptions, were not intended as comedy records. These are records which were intended for some other purpose, to amuse, to entertain, to educate in some cases, but I think they're a hoot. I hope you think they're funny too. In some ways, it's sort of a cruel sort of humor. We are kind of feeling very superior and looking down on the poor slobs that made these records, thinking that they were going to be wonderful. But hey, you know, we can't be gentle and loving and tender all the time, so get your supercilious sneer on, and we will be listening to quite a few very strange records. The first one we're going to be listening to is a record that was put out by Warner Brothers Records in the 70s, and it's by a woman named Louise Huebner, and according to her bio on the back of the record, she is the official witch of Los Angeles County. I hope she doesn't mind my playing an excerpt here from her record entitled Seduction Through Witchcraft, and we'll follow it with another equally tacky New York accent.
We are whirling through space, drifting toward eternity. Mystical sparks encircled by loneliness and cold darkness. Are you afraid? So are a lot of other people. One of the reasons witchcraft has survived through the ages is because man's need to coerce destiny and subdue the fear within has never subsided. Witchcraft attempts to deceive, cajole, and otherwise disturb natural inclination and occurrences. Witches know about the universal energy of which all things are part. You, the stars, the trees, the rocks, the gods. We know how to tune into this energy and use it. A witch is a psychic female who, with magical secrets and sheer force of will, makes things happen. I'm a witch. My mother is a witch. My grandmother is a witch. And my grandmother's great-grandmother was a witch. I'm a sixth-generation witch. With magic, I control energy. With magic, I can help you become a power. With enchantments, spells, and charms, you will soon be able to rearrange the law and order of all things. Long ago, herbs and fire were used to influence the gods. Pungent aromas were meant to stimulate the senses of the deity. And when the deity was aroused, the deity was compassionate. If you would like special favors from the gods, honor them. The gods will protect their own. I know a god who controls all physical power. With his help, you will be able to generate the impulses needed to attract a multitude of lovers. His name is Jupiter. He is the god of creativity. Raw creativity. If you acknowledge him by lighting candles in his name, he will reward you with great seductive energy. Your love affairs will be brilliant, vibrant, bold.
How do you behave at home while the affair is going on? It's a tightrope, keeping two women happy. Well, if you're on the verge of divorce and that's why the affair began, then I don't have any rules of conduct to suggest. Things will come to a really smashing climax pretty soon, and you'll either go back home or start organizing a new one. But If this affair is just a delicious little interlude and you know in your heart you're going to stay married, then I'd suggest the following. Do what you've been doing at home before the affair began. Don't go on a big sexy binge with your wife if that isn't normal, and on the other hand, don't cut anybody off without a supply at all if that isn't normal. If you've been an angel before, then of course you go on being an angel. And if you've been a rat, well, don't stop being a rat suddenly or it's going to be very suspicious. I don't have to tell you not to be a blabbermouth in your sleep and not to call the right person by the wrong name when you make love, because you're likely to die in bed and not peacefully. Never confess. Don't ever, ever confess. Just because you feel as guilty as an axe murderer doesn't necessarily mean you look like one. If you are found out and made to promise never, never to do it again, well, I guess you have to promise. I'd say your chances of keeping your promise are kind of slim. I don't think promises help much if you have it in your bloodstream to chase girls. I think the most faithful people are the ones who don't really have much of an urge to begin with. It's quite simple for them. It's just like the people who can do without chocolate bars and hot fudge sundaes. They don't really give much of a damn about them in the first place. As for managing family finances, when there's a new romantic way to spend your money, well, I guess you'll just have to save your lunch money. Any wife would get suspicious if you're suddenly siphoning off the grocery funds. And don't expect your paramour to be cooperative. I heard of one chap who told his girlfriend the $7 a week that he spent on their motel was working a real hardship on him, and she said the whole thing was beginning to work a hardship on her, and that was about the end of it. Maybe next time you'll be sensible and pick a rich girl or a married one who can contribute her own grocery money.
We're now going to turn the pendulum into a sex detector. Historically, this goes far back into our culture. Anytime you hold that pendulum over an upturned palm of a boy or a man, the pendulum is going to swing back and forth in a direct line pattern. But the moment you hold it over a female's hand, it will start to formulate a circular movement. The intriguing thing about this little phenomena is that even if you forget that a line indicates a male and a circle indicates a female, if months from now you don't quite recall the correct patterns, all you have to do is to pick up the pendulum and hold it over someone's hand. It will follow the correct direction, a direct line swinging back and forth over a male hand and a circle over a female hand. Obviously, the directions that you are now hearing are becoming deeply impressed upon your unconscious mind, and in a sense, you've never really forgotten them. This is why the test succeeds.
Presenting Abracadabra, the world's greatest magician.
This is Abracadabra, the world's greatest magician. I am going to perform baffling and bewildering magic tricks for you, right here on this record. Are you ready? Good, we begin. For this first trick, you must be able to see a clock or watch. There is a picture of one on the cover for this record that you may use. Do you see it? Good. Now, for an amazing feat of legerdemain, pick out your favorite number on the clock. Now, look directly across the center of the clock in a straight line to the number on the other side of the dial. Have you done that? Fine. What is the number you first picked out? And what is the number on the other side? Fine. Now, subtract the smaller number from the larger one. Have you done that? Good. I am now going to read your mind and tell you the answer. Ah, you don't think I can do it, but I can. Concentrate. Concentrate on your number. The vibrations are coming in now. I am beginning to get an impression of the number you are thinking of. The number in your mind is 6. A little applause, please.
I do vocal sound effects. Sound like horses galloping. Water gurgling when you pull the cork out of the bottle. Booze. And low-flying jet planes. It's rigged up with a sound system. There's an amplifier under the dashboard. There's a microphone mounted over the instrument panel, and there's a bullhorn loudspeaker mounted in front of the radiator behind the grill of this car. You have heard some of the sounds that I do. Can you imagine these sounds coming out of the front end of that car as I'm driving down a big residential section at 3 a.m? And I'm the type to do it. I'm the reason for birth control. Well, they got to stop it somewhere. Now, dig this scene. I'm on an expressway. Everybody's out there tuning their bumpers. There's a traffic jam. They're sitting there waiting on something to happen. It did. I drove up. I get mixed up in that bunch, and I said, well, I may as well entertain them. We're not doing too much out here. So I picked up the microphone and gave them the sound of a horse braying and galloping out of the front end of the car. And all you could hear for about a mile down that expressway. Suppose you were sitting in front of me and heard that, what would you do? I get out of the car with the rest of them, look for the horse. And they never know who did it. Here's my favorite. I've got a town in Texas Hornet. I'd run down to Houston and do a show. When I finish the show, I'd head north. As I cleared the city limits of Houston, I'd enter a little town up there. Any old town, it didn't matter, I'd pick on them. I'd go roaring through this place at 3 a.m, pick up the microphone. I gave them a sound they never forgot. This is what they heard in that peaceful, quiet little town. Then I cut it off and roared through. You know, I kept that up for 6 months, and I drove those people clear out of their cotton-picking skulls. They didn't have any tracks in that town. This was written up in the newspapers as the Phantom Train rides again. As far as I know, they're still out there digging holes in the ground, cutting the grass, looking for those tracks. Now, here's one. I came back from the Playboy one night. That's the Rabbit Club. And, I come zooming down through this big residential section. There's a big sign out there, and it said, live here, you'll love it, $60,000 area, peaceful and quiet. Yeah, I thought about that. I said, peaceful and quiet. Well, it was. I picked up the microphone, and I roared down through that residential section, and I gave them a sound that, man, it ruined their reputation in 10 seconds. The sound of cops and robbers, sirens, skidding brakes, gunshots with ricocheting bullets. This is what they heard at 3 a.m. You should have seen the lights pop on in the house. Boy, the people from scrambling out of that front door, they're all right behind them.
Yeah, that I think he really thought that was going to, as they say, chew up the charts. That's a 45 called Fun with Sound by Wes Harrison, Mr. Sound Effect. What we heard in that set, we heard first Louise Huebner with Seduction Through Witchcraft. I hope she's not listening and is about to cast some sort of awful spell on me. Then we heard Helen Gurley Brown, the editor of Cosmopolitan. I think Cosmopolitan is actually one of the great humor magazines of our time. I've loved Helen Gurley Brown ever since I heard her say on the Johnny Carson show, that now that men are spending the night at women's apartments rather than the other way around, as long as they're there for the night, they at least ought to fix something. Then we heard the amazing Kreskin talking about when in doubt, how you can tell if your companion is a man or a woman, using the pendulum, which, of course, you have with you at all times. Then we heard a wonderful record, which the cover of which I have on the wall of a room in my house, called Magic Fun, Tricks and Treats for One or a Party. Amazing, amusing, a marvelous, magical performance right on the record, a jubilee of jollities performed by Sanford the Great. And this came from Keen Records in Hollywood 27, California. It is a bright blue plastic record, and it's got all sorts of amazing magical tricks. A little applause, please. And then we ended up with Fun with Sound. And now we'll move to a slightly different sort of set. Oh, by the way, while we're still in that category, there are others in that genre. I used to have a copy of The Sensuous Woman on the record, which was very funny. And I once saw in a record store Better Bowling Through Hypnosis, but the store was closed and I was unable to go back and catch it. Aren't you glad? Anyhow, now we'll move to records by people that really should not have made records in the first place. If you are a fan of Harry Shearer, you have undoubtedly heard his impression of the one and only Mr. Blackwell, Richard Blackwell, the fashion designer and one-time radio host here in Los Angeles, who is a marvelous character. He's the one that does the 10 worst dressed lists every year. And he put out a record called The Mr. Blackwell Show. And we will hear quite a few of the second bananas and the people that, as I say, really shouldn't have made records, beginning with Mr. Blackwell.
Whatever happened to women? I've heard this everywhere. Whatever happened to women? That feminine creature beyond compare. First you ask, what is a woman? Well, to use a metaphor, she's a rag, a bone, a hank of hair, and a walking department store. Now, being in the rag business myself, I can speak with some authority. A woman is someone who's always right, and why not? She's in the majority. Now, for the moment, think of Samson. He really came on strong. But after his close shave with Delilah, his strength and his hair were gone. Helen of Troy launched 1,000 ships, which drove those sailors nuts. Joan of Arc had to lead the armies. The generals didn't have the guts. And consider the plight of Columbus. If Isabella hadn't hocked her jewels, why, the world and Chris would still be flat, and we'd live in a flat world of fools. Now, all the way back through history, to Eve from the beginning, women have always held those reins and kept this old world spinning. From Salome to Sadie Thompson, no matter how fashion's designed, there will always be women's skirts for men to hide behind. Whatever happened to women? That female perfumed and curled, well, she's right up front where she's always been, spinning this woman's world.
And of course, what's a show like this without Regis Philbin?
Tut-tut-tutsy, goodbye. Tut-tut-tutsy, don't cry. The choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how sad it makes me. Kiss me, tutsy, and then do it over again. Watch for the mail, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you'll know I'm in jail. Tut-tut-tutsy, don't cry. Tut-tut-tutsy, goodbye. Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something. kiss me tootsie, and then do it over again. I didn't need a shove, 'cause I just fell in love with your pretty baby face, with your pretty baby face.
Swinging down the street so fancy free, nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there inside you. Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try, or is it the clothes you wear? You're always window shopping, but never stopping. So shed those dowdy feathers and fly a little bit. Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change that'd be. All the world would see a new Georgie girl.
Of course, we all love our country. Many people have asked me why. Why I love her so deeply. Well, give me time and I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White call in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachian Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you as you hear the waters roar? Do you look with awe and wonder at the Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a brand new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock? And do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? Do you hail the Columbia as she rushes to the sea?
What is a Dodger? That's easy. A Dodger is a baseball player. That's not the whole answer, is it? Let's take it from the beginning. The beginning is spring training, Vero Beach, Florida. A village thick with orange groves becomes overpopulated with ball players. A rookie is playing to become a Dodger. A veteran is playing to stay a Dodger. A Dodger is destiny. Exhibition games. They aren't important games because they don't count for the pennant. Let me tell you, they count big to each rookie and veteran. One pitch can make the change from major to minor. A Dodger is opening day. Dodger Stadium in red, white, and blue bunting. 56,000 eager fans. Announcement. Cheer. Distinguished citizens. Former great player. The Star-Spangled Banner. The national anthem and the national pastime go together. The governor throws out the first ball. Roseboro makes the bad pitch look good. The umpire roars, "Play ball!" A Dodger is the baseball season. A baseball season is hot afternoons in New York, windy nights in San Francisco, an outdoor game played indoors in Houston. It's a home run by inches, or a foul ball by inches. It's missing a line drive by inches, or making a spectacular catch by inches. A dodger is a bum or a hero in the game of inches. There's the Dodgers' private plane. The team arrives in Chicago.
Well, what we heard there, we heard Mr. Blackwell, Regis Philbin, and the Regis Philbin record on the back of it has a picture of not just Regis and Joey, but Regis and Joey and Sammy all wearing their Nehru jackets. And it's truly a marvel to behold. And then Ed McMahon with Georgie Girl, Wally George with America, Why I Love Her, and we closed that set with Vin Scully. And now, in answer to the question, who killed disco music? I mean, who really put an end to disco music? There's no other answer other than this particular record. I know I said I wasn't going to do too much in the way of just bad music, but here she is from the one and only Ethel Merman disco album. I have no shame whatsoever. Here's Ethel. We'll just fade Ethel down a little bit. It's hard to fade Ethel down, but we'll fade her down while I say goodnight. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. It was certainly a lot of fun to put together. Thanks to Harry Shearer for providing the Ed McMahon record, and thanks to all of you for putting up with it. Next week we'll be listening to the comedy, the serious comedy of Lenny Bruce, so it should be a completely different sort of show, let's hope. And that's about it. This is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening. Oh, also reminding you that the address, should you care to complain about tonight's show, is Bob Claster, Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. I love to hear from you anyway, so just let me know what you think. And that's about it. Next week's show is, as I said, Lenny Bruce. And I hope you enjoyed this and that you will remember to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when some guy's going to come around and play records like this for you, and you're really going to need it. Good night, everybody.